Hello, my name's Sean Schaefer and welcome to The Wealth Show from CityWire. Today we're looking at the UK IPO market, which has come under scrutiny of late, largely due to Deliveroo's car crash of a listing earlier this year. Clearly there are major risks with new flotations. There's no track record under more onerous reporting standards and there can be liquidity issues. However, it's not all doom and gloom. Research from AJ Bell in June suggested that UK IPOs had reported an average 24% gain by the half-year point. I spoke with CityWire AA-rated Oliver Brown, manager of the MFM UK Primary Opportunities Fund, who believes that investors should be taking more notice of IPOs. Well, Oliver, thank you so much for joining me today. Why do you think you should invest in UK IPOs, considering there's been some recent flops such as Deliveroo recently?
We actually think that investing in IPOs is potentially a good thing. It's an opportunity to invest at the ground level, when a company first comes to the market. You're usually seeing companies that are growing, that have got a particular niche or an area of expertise. And, you know, ultimately, if management are good and they spend this money that they've raised wisely, then, you know, that should fuel further growth for the company, which should be, you know, beneficiary for shareholders and raising equity values. But, you know, with all investments, you know, you need to be selective, buy into, you know, what you see as good quality companies that have got, yes, a particular area of expertise or a niche, and are raising capital and floating for the right reasons. Now, Deliveroo, it was a high profile example of a float that hasn't gone so well. I think, you know, there are merits to that business, but put simply, the shares were overpriced by the investment banks. And I have to say that people tend to remember the IPOs that flop rather more than the success stories. So for every sort of bad IPO, you know, you might throw at me, I could give you three or four back that have been rather good investments.
But as an investor, obviously there are some substantial risks with IPO. Obviously the liquidity is a lot more challenging. You don't have as much data on these companies as you would with a publicly listed company. Would it be more prudent as a fund manager to wait maybe sort of a year or two after these companies have sort of initially listed?
You're right in that you don't have as much data potentially on the business, certainly as a listed entity. But when buying an IPO, one of the things that we believe in is buying that company at a discount to where we believe that the shares would trade at if they were a listed business. We call it an IPO discount. And usually you sort of feel that is around, you know, 10 to 20%. So actually you're buying in at what you feel is a cheaper rate. So you're getting a discount, which, you know, in time, if that company goes on to deliver what it sets out to do at the IPO, what, you know, management has told us its forecasts are and it's going to hit and hopefully beat, then actually over time you should see that so-called IPO discount unwind, and that actually in reality gives you some downside protection. If you wait for 1 or 2 years, the problem with that is you potentially miss the boat. And, you know, you do see some IPOs, you know, in their first sort of year or two, perform extremely, extremely well. So we would not want to do that. You know, we want to look at the IPOs and be selective. Certainly there are some times that we've looked at a company and we think it's quite good, but we haven't maybe been able to get quite comfortable with the valuation, or we just feel it's maybe a little bit too early stage. So you're right, in that circumstances, we might then come in at a further opportunity, you know, 12 or 24 months down the line when the company may be raising some new money. So it's not simply appropriate to buy, you know, every IPO.
Sure. And in your fund, how much would you be willing to allocate to new companies, sort of early stage companies that are sort of just out of the IPO stage?
Well, at the moment in the fund, around about 20% of the fund is made up of companies that were bought at IPO. Now, some of those we've held for many, many years now. So, they have gone on to be very successful and have proven themselves. When we buy an IPO, we will always be cautious about the amount of money we would put in. So we wouldn't put more than, say, 2% of the fund into an IPO. And the reality is, if it's a smaller cap, it would be a bit smaller than this, and it may be around 1 to 1.5%. So if we are wrong and the company doesn't perform as we hoped, then it won't cause a material impact to the performance of the fund. But if it's successful, and you do see IPOs that go on to produce many times your original investment, then even with a 1% stake, say, that can produce very useful alpha to the fund.
Obviously, you're coming at this from a professional investor's perspective, but do you think the IPO market should be democratized more? Do you think it'd be prudent to allow retail investors greater access?
Yes, in a word. I was speaking with a contact at an investment bank recently and asking about this area and whether retail investors, why they don't perhaps get a bit more access than they do. And he said that the evidence actually suggests that, retail investors are a very useful source of finance. Hargreaves Lansdown, which is the largest platform, has, 1.6 million customers, of which 400,000 are on their IPO distribution list, i.e. they're interested in IPOs. There's a lot more SIP and ISA money now looking to be invested. And actually, the research that this investment bank did, Peel Hunt, suggests that the money is relatively sticky. Sometimes I think retail investors get a hard press in that they may be in a sort of short-termist, but actually the evidence would suggest to the alternative. I actually think there is demand there from the retail investors. There are plenty of retail investors who understand and know the risks involved in equity investing, and as long as those risks are sort of made clear to them, then they should be able to participate, and they will only make up a relatively sort of small proportion of any IPO monies that's raised. Perhaps say you could cap it at say 10%, but to not allow them in at all does seem a little unfair in a world where we're trying to make things more equal and democratic.
Let's move on. Could you give a couple of examples of recent IPOs that you've invested in?
So a company that we really like is called Devolver, which is a computer games developer. It's raising $50 million to help it grow. It may well look to acquire some teams of developers as well. It's got a very exciting pipeline of games that are to be released. Now, this is what is known as an indie developer, where the games are relatively modest in terms of cost, unlike sort of AAA developers that may spend $100 million on the creation of a new game. These guys will spend $2 to $2.5 million. Now, we like the computer games industry because it is an area that is growing. Customers are spending more. There's relatively modest costs, as we mentioned, in producing a game. And this company's got a very good record. It's got a highly rated sort of backlog of games. And we believe that it will continue to produce sort of good quality and attractive games that people want to play. And the average payback period is only 4 months on one of their games. So we think it's a really attractive space to be in right now.
And I'm kind of, where are you seeing the growth prospects? Where are they selling these games into? Is it mainly sort of the West, or have they got an audience in emerging markets?
Well, it's a company that's founded in the US, and their main markets are the US and Europe. So that would be their main market. Having said that, you know, in this global world, you know, the ability to sell your products and your computer games all over the world is greater than it's ever been.
And has Devolver already listed, or is it about to list? I wasn't entirely clear. So.
Yes, it lists on Thursday. So
and you've already made you've made.
Yes, we've been allocated some shares, so you know it will go well on Thursday.
Another company that you mentioned is Doc Martens. Why did you invest in that company?
Yeah, it's an iconic brand. And a brand that we think can be, you know, monetized further. It's got, you know, a very strong presence in the UK. I think we all know Doc Martens. We all sort of grew up with it. Probably most of us have owned a pair. And it's got a growing presence in Europe and the US. And you know, the Far East, in particular China, offers a very considerable market as well, where it is far less known. And you know, given the size of the market in China, you know, you don't need a huge level of take up in that market to propel the brand and sales and profits considerably further. Now the shares actually, just to highlight that not every IPO necessarily goes well. It's still relatively early days for this company, having floated early this year. And the shares went to a significant premium to start with. But they've actually fallen back over the last few months, mainly on concerns over supply issues that have been afflicting a number of companies. It wasn't a cheap stock, and there has been a slight.
So you've been slightly burnt by this by buying it at the IPO stage.
Well, we are currently slightly underwater, yes. But we believe in the long term prospects of the company, and we continue to watch with interest. And should our views change of that, and perhaps the company doesn't perform, in line with our expectations, then of course you have to constantly review your positions. But so far, the company has done a reasonable job.
And another example would be great.
Yes, so a company in a sort of small cap sort of software sector called Maytech, which floated recently. The company is digitalizing government services. It works with 6 of the 10 largest government departments in the UK, so the likes of HMRC, the Ministry of Justice, and DVLA. An example is that they are digitalizing provisional driving licenses, which are still paper at the moment. Seems crazy, but that's what younger people are getting at the moment, a paper copy. Now the government is very, very keen to save money, and the more that it can interact with us, the public, digitally, rather than us having to have conversations over the telephone or perhaps in person, saves them huge, huge, huge amounts of money. And there is an opportunity for this company, to go international because, governments all around the world are clearly strapped and looking at ways to be more economical.
Let's move on to the UK as the market. Why do you think the UK is an attractive market for IPOs?
Yes, so in London, we, have got large and deep pools of capital, very, very well established. And of course, all of the advisors and services that go along with the sort of listed businesses, it is hard to replicate elsewhere. There is a certain kudos, I believe, in having a London listing and the rigors that come with that. And there are, potentially some changes afoot to help encourage companies to look at floating, in London rather than perhaps, going to some of the other European or even the US. there has been a lot, you know, there's an awful lot being said at the moment, you know, about the FTSE 100 and the sort of rather old economy nature of it, you know, with a lot of sort of mining and oil and banking stocks. And actually, in themselves, you know, mining and oil companies are a strength of the UK market in some ways, because if you're looking to list a mining company, then you're likely to consider London, because you know, that's where people and investors understand those sorts of companies. But there is a strong mid and small cap market here as well that is, you know, I consider to be very vibrant. And an example, of course, is the AIM market, which, you know, is a market leader amongst the sort of smaller market, you know, around the world, where fast growing companies, you know, can access capital in a timely and cost-effective manner.
Which upcoming IPOs are you most bullish on?
So a company we have been looking at and we like is a company called Stelrad. It's a radiator business, so a relatively simple business. It's got over 50% UK market share and around about 20% across Europe. It is a beneficiary of, you know, the fact that people have been spending more time at home and home working and want to actually, you know, make their homes a nicer place to be, and should also be a beneficiary of the rollout of heat pumps, because heat pumps actually work better if you've got larger radiators. So when people put heat pumps into their homes, then they're actually going to also need to upgrade their radiators and make them a bit larger as well. So there are certain sort of drivers that we think are good for that business. And you know, ultimately, the company is coming on a sensible valuation. You know, it's profitable, it makes money, it's going to pay a dividend, and we think it should do well.
And on the other end, are there any sectors or companies that you're a bit more cautious of at the IPO stage?
Well, firstly, we certainly don't like investing in sort of business plans. You know, we don't want to just write blank checks and hope that, you know, management go and, you know, spend it wisely. You know, we want to know what they're going to do with it. And, you know, ultimately, those sort of companies at a very, very early stage, we find difficult to value. And the risk of, the execution risk of that sort of business is high as well. So we tend to avoid those. There is a lot of money at the moment, sort of looking to go into sort of green technology area. Now, some of it, you know, may be investable, but some of it may be, you know, we may consider it to be rather too early stage for us. You know, we were talking earlier about, you know, investing at the IPO stage. Yes, we believe that it's the ground level, and it is sensible to invest in a company at IPO when it meets our, you know, quality criteria. But that may be an example of waiting to see, you know, which are going to be the long-term winners from this sort of move towards green technology. Because, you know, at the moment, these businesses are very, very highly valued. Their profits are somewhere in the future, hopefully, you know, and therefore the risk to investors, you know, we do see is quite high at the moment.
Excellent. Well, Ollie, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you very much.